have a brief word of prayer and then we'll hear the word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that thou now prepare our hearts to hear thy word. Help us, O Lord, not to come unprepared into thy house. Help us, Lord, not to be unprepared to hear thy word. And ultimately, help us not to go unprepared out of this world, out of time, and into eternity, before thee and before thy judgment throne. Our Father, how awful a thing it would be to be unready to die, not ready to die, not ready for the judgment. We thank thee that we can be, if we turn to thee and we trust in the person and the work of thy Son, Jesus Christ. So make us a ready people. And as thy people, we pray that we might be ready for anything in these days, whether it be illness, disease, whatever it might be. Help us to be those, O Lord, who are totally and utterly unshaken by anything. Because we're on the rock, Jesus Christ. We're in him. And we can never be out of him. And this great salvation can never be taken away from us. Oh, Father, we do thank thee that even though catastrophic things can happen, we thank thee, Lord, there is a river from thee that makes glad thy people and thy church, a peace that passes all understanding. Grant it to us in these days that when so many people are so anxious and careful about many things, we might be those who exhibit peace before them and to be seen to be different, to be the people of God who actually trust in thee, an infinite and almighty God. So do hear us now. Do help us as we come to the scriptures, the holy scriptures. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear friends, I'd ask you to turn with me this morning to one of the verses towards the end of the first chapter of the Apostle John's first epistle. It's the first epistle of John, chapter 1, and it is verse 9, where we read these words. Remember, not just the words of John, these are the words of God, the inspired words of God himself. And he wrote, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, that if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If, conditional, we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Righteousness. Now, last Lord's Day morning, if you were with us, it doesn't matter if you weren't with us, each and every one of these messages will be one in and of themselves. Last Lord's Day morning, if you were here, you'd know that we were continuing to look together at what we might call the new creation. We know what the old creation is, this creation of the universe, the creation of the world, the creation of the heaven and the earth. We read about in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and other places in the scriptures. That's the old creation, the creation of this world. The new creation is God making a people to himself, creating, spiritually creating a people to himself. It is his making his church and his people. It's the way in which they actually become his people, they become Christians, and what it is to be one of his people. It is the new creation. It's a spiritual recreation. We become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we carried on looking at that last time by commencing to look at the pardon of all our sins. In the past, we've looked at God's work of regeneration. That's right at the very beginning of our Christian lives. And then that leads on to conversion, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the blessings that comes to us, one of the first blessings is pardon. The pardon of all our sins. The forgiveness of sins. Our sins being remitted, being taken away from us, as we read earlier on in Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. So we started to look at that last Sunday morning. We looked first of all at some of the verses of the Bible that teach us that all our sins can be pardoned, that this is something that is possible. And indeed, we looked at the proof of pardon. This is something that can happen, and indeed has happened, to every single one of God's people that are in his church, that are in the body of Christ, part of the bride of Christ. Secondly, we looked at some of the phrases of the Bible that describe the pardon of all our sins, that we might not only know that it is possible, we might know something of what it's like, the nature of this pardon. And there are a number of phrases and clauses and expressions in the Bible that describe it to us, especially at the beginning of Psalm 32. So the phrases of pardon. Then thirdly, we saw that our sins, even ours, can be forgiven, can be fully absolved through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, the power of pardon. And we looked at some of those descriptions in the Bible of sin, that it is sin, that it's iniquity, that it's transgression, it's abomination. They are abominations in God's sight. And we looked at that to see just how heinous our sin was. That's why we have all these descriptions of sin in the Bible. We might realize how bad our sin and our rebellion is. And yet God can even forgive us for all that we've done. Even for sins we've not yet committed, they can all be gone. They can all be forgiven. Fourth, we looked at the reasons why this can all happen to us. It happens to us not because of ourselves, but because of God. It happens to us not because of anything of ourselves, or anything that we have done, or going to do. It happens because of the free, sovereign goodness, grace, kindness, love, and mercy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It happens because of Christ himself. Because he came into this world, and that he went to the cross of Calvary. And on the cross, he bore our sins, and he bore the full punishment of our sins, that God might be just, and the justifier of him that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you still carry your sins, and the curse of them, the condemnation of them, and you will bear the punishment of them forever. But if you're in Christ, then, my dear friends, you're safe in him this morning. You're safe from the wrath to come, delivered from the wrath to come. So we concluded by asking ourselves, challenging ourselves, whether we realize that this can happen to us, and indeed, this will happen to us, definitely, certainly, surely, if we indeed, through grace, repent of our sins and believe this good news, believe this gospel of Christ and him crucified. It's there upon the cross, it's through this man, the God-man, that we can have all our sins forgiven. So those were the things that we were looking at last Lord's Day morning. This morning, I want us now to continue looking at this subject of the new creation by looking at some of the properties, some of the features or the aspects of the pardon of all our sins. We looked at this in general. Now let's look at it more specifically and particularly and categorize certain things about this pardon, about this forgiveness. And there are a number of things that we can say about it this morning. What are they? The first thing is this. What are the things that belong to this pardon of God, the pardon of our God? First thing to notice is that this is a great blessing, my dear friends. This is one of the chiefest, if not the chiefest, of the blessings of God. There are the great blessings of God, God being our God if we're his people, and we being his people and being his children. But this is one of the greatest of God's blessings. It's first, it's chiefest, it's one of the greats in redemption and in salvation. I want to show that to you first of all. And I want to show you that this is something which is absolutely and utterly free. It is not something that we can purchase. It's not something that we can buy. It's not something that we can haggle and barter with God over, as if we could buy this, like one of the characters in the New Testament, not a believer. He tried to buy the blessing and the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. He couldn't do that. And he couldn't also barter for his salvation. It is something which is free. It's absolutely free. It is without money and it's without price. It costs God everything. It cost him his own son, the life of his son upon the cross. It costs us nothing. But as Christians, it costs. Once we become Christians, it costs to be a Christian. And you've got to count the cost when you're converted, perhaps before you're converted. And then this is something that is faithful and sure and certain. Fourthly, it is something which is full. It's not a partial forgiveness, it's a full forgiveness. And fifthly, this morning we shall see, it is something which is final, and it is something which is forever. It is something that is eternal. God's an eternal God, and the things that he does, they are forever, my dear friends. And this is something that he does, which is forever. The first thing here is that this blessing of God is first. I say it is first in a sense of time, in a way, when we become Christians, and it's first in a sense of priority, and of order, and of greatness. Now, why can I say that to you this morning? I say that to you on the basis and authority of the Word of God. Because, first of all, go back into the, I show this to you first of all from the Old Testament, and then I show it to you from the New Testament. From the Old Testament, first of all, we notice in the book of Psalms, and in Psalm 103, and in that third verse, that the forgiveness of our sins, the pardon of our iniquities, was the first of all the Lord's benefits, spiritual benefits, that the psalmist David's soul blessed God for in those verses. You might like to turn to it, Psalm 103 and verses 2 and 3, where he begins with, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, forget not all his benefits." And he goes on to say in verse 2, "Bless," it means praise. "Praise the Lord, praise Jehovah, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to receive all of the benefits of God, all of the benefits of his redemption and salvation. But my dear friends, what is the first of those benefits? What's first in order, first in time, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It is this, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, your spiritual diseases. The psalmist David there puts it first, doesn't he? When he thinks of all the benefits and the blessings of God, the first one he thinks of, as he's guided to do so by the Holy Spirit, is the forgiveness of sins. But this isn't just the Old Testament, it's also the New Testament as well. It's not just King David, it's also the Apostle Paul. Because when Paul wrote his epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 1, I remember doing a sermon series on this in my old church in Devizes, and coming to this passage, and noticing this, and the commentators that I read on this pointed this out, that it was the first of all the Lord's blessings that Paul blessed the Lord for in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, "In whom," that is in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, "we have redemption." We have salvation. Through his blood, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death upon the cross. And here is one of the great blessings that comes out of redemption. Redemption accomplished and redemption applied by the Holy Spirit. It is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So that's the first thing. Forgiveness is first. The first of God's spiritual benefits, the first of God's spiritual blessings that comes out of redemption. And so, my dear friends, I feel that I have the right to ask you this morning, was forgiveness, or the pardon of your sins, the first of all the Lord's benefits or spiritual blessings to you? Has this happened to you? Is one of the first great things that happened to you as one of God's people? I can remember it was the first great thing that happened to me as soon as I was born again, as soon as I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the burden of my sin rolled away. I knew that I was forgiven. I had some assurance of that. It always happened to people that have assurance straight away. And some people had lack of assurance throughout the whole of their Christian lives. But surely at some juncture as God's people, we know that our sins are remitted, are taken away. We are released. We are relieved. The chains of our captivity are broken. And we rise to go forth to follow and disciple the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, has this not only happened to you, one of the first things that happened to you as a Christian, a believing person, but also, is this something which is very important to you as a believer? I fear that as we go on as Christians, we begin to diminish this blessing. But you and I need to realize it's one of the chiefest of the blessings of God. And it is sometimes disappointing to speak about these things. And it's almost as though God's people dismiss this. Oh, I've heard about this in the past. Or this is something that's happened to me a long time ago, and it doesn't really mean so much to me anymore. My dear friends, as long as you become Christians, the worse your sins become in a sense, and the greater this blessing of forgiveness should come to you. Unless your Christian life has grown stale, and you've lost that fresh sense of being pardoned of all your sin. My dear friend, I feel as a church and as a people, we, like the psalmist, should be blessing him for this. And like the apostle Paul, we should be blessing and praising God for this blessing of blessings. Oh, the blessedness of the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. Are we biblical people? If we are, we'll be praising God for this. So it is something which is first, to be put first. It is something which is totally and utterly free from God. Why do we say that? We say that because this is an act. It is a sovereign act or gift of God according to, as David puts it in Psalm 51 and verse 1, according to the multitude of God's tender mercies, or the riches, it means the plenty of his unmerited free grace, which is abundantly displayed or richly shown forth in this act or in this blessing of God. Listen to David, Psalm 51 and verse 1. He cries out to God, Lord, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness. According to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies. It's all of grace. It's all of God's mercy. And it's all free grace. Blot out my transgressions, he says. And then again, it's an important verse, isn't it, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And notice Paul says, according to the riches of his grace. It's not something that we can earn through good works, through keeping God's commandments, through keeping our own little spiritual code, things we do, things we don't do, being baptized, taking communion, being a member of a church, being an officer in the church. This is not something that we can earn. This is something that God sovereignly bestows upon his people. It is a sovereign act or gift of God. It is all of grace, that it might be all to his glory. And also that it might be by faith alone. So it's an act of God's free grace. And it's Trinitarian. It's an act of the Father's free grace. Because he was the one who found the ransom. He found the ransom price in his own Son for our sins. And upon that basis and upon that basis alone, delivered us, delivered you and me from going down to the pit of corruption and going down deep into hell. It is the Father's doing. He found the ransom price. He found the Redeemer. He found the Savior in his own Son, Jesus Christ. And he became a surety for it even before the foundation of the world. And it was the Father who sent his Son and who set him forth to be the propitiation. That means the wrath-removing sacrifice through faith in his blood for the remission of our sins. And he does, the Father does for his sake, freely forgive them all. It's of the Father. We should be thanking God in general for this. We should be particularly thanking the Father for this. It is of his doing, his planning. But it's also, we should be thanking the Son as well. It is something that he has accomplished. It's an act of his free grace because he was the one. My dear friends, he was the one who paid the price, the full price, that our sins might be forgiven according to God's holy law. He shed his precious blood. That is what our sins required, that they might be forgiven. Sin had to be paid for. It had to be paid for by death, by his death, the innocent party. And he shed his precious blood for the remission of all our sins. How you and I, if we're part of his true church and if we really are his people, how we should love the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is what he's done for us. He's gone to these lengths, to this extreme, in order to redeem us. He's come into this world. He's come incarnate. He's lived a perfect life. He's died a perfect death, atoning death for us upon the cross, in order that you might receive this pardon. Your soul might be forgiven of all your sins. Inherited sin of your first parents, Adam and Eve. Original sin. but also your actual sins as well. We should be praising God, praising the Father, praising the Son, and also the Spirit as well. He's the Spirit of grace. And it's also his act of free grace as well. He is the one. God applies his work to us through the Holy Spirit and the Spirit. He leads us to Christ. He convicts us of our sin. He uses the law of a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith in him. He leads us to the blood of Christ that speaks pardon and peace to our souls, to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And he is the one who takes of the things of Christ, his blood, righteousness and sacrifice, and shows us an interest in them and applies them to us when we come to God from our sins, when we repent and believe. It's the Spirit who applies these things to us. So that's why it's free. It's God's free grace. It's the Father's free grace. It's the Son's free grace, an act of his free grace. And it's an act of the Spirit's free grace also. It's all free, my dear friends. As my father once said to me, son, I think it's because he didn't want to pay for things. He said, the best things in life are free. And this is the best thing in life. And it's the best thing in death when you're dying and before eternity, to know this, that you've been freely forgiven by God. It's his free grace. It's also free because he freely bestows it on those of his choosing, those that he's chosen even before the foundation of the world. He bestows it on whom he pleases according to his sovereign will, and even to the worst, not upon angels. They don't receive this, even though they fell and sinned, but upon men and those whom he pleases, one and not another. And even the worst of them is to sinners. Not the righteous, Christ is called, but sinners to the repentance. So I ask you, my friend, this morning, is your Christian position right? Is it biblical? Is this something that you have received? And you can look back and you say, yes, this was free. I didn't do anything. If you come to the door and speak to me at the end and you say something, well, I did this to purchase my salvation, to make myself right with God, that I might have peace with God, my dear friend, your understanding and your faith is faulty. But if you can say to me at the end, I can see such a sinner, so depraved, so lost, so hell-bound, that it had to be all of grace. And it had to be the free grace of God to me. I had nothing. I had nothing to bring him. I came empty-handed to God. And I just received this pardon that he was offering to me through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You received it freely. You've not received it freely. You've not received it at all. It's also something, my dear friends, thirdly, something which is sure, certain, and faithful. You notice 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, where John wrote to those he sent that first letter to. He said, if we as believers confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dear friends, you can trust God for this. If you've repented and believed, you can trust him that he has forgiven you and forgiven you forever. You don't need to doubt this. You mustn't be unbelieving. You must really embrace this and know that this has happened. And you mustn't let the devil come in after you believe. And when things start to go wrong, drifting away from the doctrine of justification by faith alone, and begin to go back into law works, and begin to get worried that God hasn't forgiven me. No, my dear friends, if you have become a Christian, God is faithful to forgive you. He's faithful to his eternal counsel. When he, in his eternal counsel with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, agreed to do this for his people. Faithful to his eternal covenant, the covenant of grace, where he agreed to do this for us and ratified it by the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, for all those and only to those who believe. And he's faithful to his promises. He's promised to do this. He prophesied to do it for his people and to grant it upon the blood of his Son being shed for the remission of it. I say this, my dear friends, because I know from my own experience, as you go through the Christian life, we still sin, we must then confess our sins. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can go through sometimes with a sense of not being forgiven. And we can lose our happiness. We can lose our joy. We can lose our freedom. We can lose our liberty. We can lose our Christian luster. That is why, my dear friends, you need to keep a short account. Confess your sins daily because you commit them daily. And know fresh forgiveness every single day of your Christian lives. Don't be kind of looking back to a past Christian experience. It's good to look back to past Christian experience. But don't be relying upon that. Be living the Christian life on what you're experiencing now of God's grace and mercy towards you. Otherwise, you'll grow stale as a Christian. Penultimate point here is that it's something which is full and complete. Because God fully pardons all our past, it's all gone. Don't carry it with you. The Christian life is a race. And my dear friend, runners need to be free from every encumbrance, and sin can encumber us. I was looking yesterday at the athletics, and those runners, they weren't carrying anything with them, but they were as light as they could possibly be. What they were wearing was as light as could possibly be, and they were able to run their sprints, their 100 metres, their 400 metres, and so on, because they were unencumbered. And if you're going to run a good race and fight a good fight, you must be unencumbered with besetting sins and the guilt of sin. It must be gone. You leave it behind you. You don't let the devil always bring it before your eyes. God has cast it behind your back. Don't put it in front of you. Keep it. It's all in the past. As when Israel came out of Egypt and all the Egyptians were dead upon the shore and they marched on. God's dealt with your sin. Don't take them with you. He said he'll remember them no more. You forget them and go on. Go on with him. So he fully pardons all our sins, past, present, and even future, even before they're committed. That does not encourage us to sin. That is an enticement and encouragement to holiness and to thankfulness and gratitude. And it's also full because although we may receive the knowledge and the experience of the forgiveness of sins when we first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we might have later experiences of this, when perhaps we fall into sin, we backslide, and God may give us a fresh experience of the forgiveness of sins later on in our Christian lives. As far as God is concerned, he has fully pardoned all the sins of his people once and forever and together. Although, as I say, the manifestation, application of it may be made at different times, by us at different times, as wanted by us. So all our sins are forgiven, and God, in his mind, as it were, has forgiven them all on the basis of his Son, Jesus Christ, his people's sins once and forever. And that leads me to my final point this morning. Remember, my dear friends, this is forever. It is final. There are some things in life that can be repealed. This can never be repealed. There are some things that can be repented of. Can have a change of mind, a change of heart. We even read of God himself repenting in the days of the Old Testament. Not that God repents, but in his will he does something different. But he'll never repent of this. He will never revoke this. It's one of those gifts of grace which are without repentance and will never be revoked. It can never be reversed. It's a blessing God has given in covenant and in with his Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and it is irreversible. It is forever. It is eternal. It is, as I said towards the beginning of the message, one of those things that God does which are forever. It is something that we can never, sin is something that we ought never to find again. This is how Scripture puts it. God has cast him behind his back. Think how great God is. I can come down to you this morning and I can quickly get round to the back of you, as it were, because that'd be easy, wouldn't it? But God is infinite. You can't get round to the back of God. God is eternal and he's infinite. He's cast our sins behind his back. We will never find them, therefore. He has cast them into the depths of the sea. Think of some of the seas and the oceans of this world. Think of some of the trenches that there are in the oceans and how deep they are. You cast something in there and you watch it go down and it disappears. You're never going to find it again. And that sin, God has dealt with it. It's down there in the depths of the sea of his forgetfulness. And God has removed them, Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. If you go whichever is east, as far that way, to an infinite distance, west an infinite distance, that is how far God has removed our transgressions from us. Well, my dear friends, think of those two final points. Do you know that you're forgiven? God is, don't doubt him. Don't let Satan sow doubts in your mind or in your heart. Know this. Have a full assurance of faith. Realize they're all gone. Don't have to carry any with you through your Christian life. And know that this is something that is forever. My dear friends, this is why you and I, if we're a true member of Christ's church, we're truly one of his people, why we should be the happiest people in this world. And rejoicing in Jesus Christ. How sin made us miserable in the past. It still does. It still vexes us. One day God is going to completely deliver us out of this world. And from these things. Which continue to vex our eyes and our ears and our hearts. He's going to completely deliver us. But now we have the knowledge. The guilt of them is gone. He's delivering us from their power and pollution. And that they're all going to go. God has dealt and is dealing. And we'll deal with your iniquities and with all their consequences. Indeed, my dear friend, he's given you eternal life. He's given you grace. He's given you his spirit. He's given you glory itself. Rejoice in him. Praise him. Worship him. Honor and serve him in your life.